Good morning. Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock a.m. We're gathered for the County Administration Workshop in the Warrior County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioners Fowler and Morgan present. First item up on the agenda, we're going to go out of order because the only staff here at the moment is Scott Chansey with Transit. So we have Rail and Public Transit Division, Oregon Department of Transportation Agreement 33578 and 33578. Sorry, 79. Morning, Scott.
Morning.
Long time no see.
I know, and I was thinking I think this is close to the end of our agreement, so I think I only have a couple other agenda items that you'll see me, and then
it'll be a break.
So the first one up, these are both operating grants that we get for elderly and disabled transportation. They're both the same program, which is 5310, and that's for elderly and disabled transportation. The difference between the two is one's an urban allocation and the other one is just a regular allocation. For some reason, ODOT splits those up. So this first one is the regular allocation. It has a match requirement of 10.27%, or around $10,000, $11,000 a year.
And how do we pay for that match?
We pay for that match with the agreement that was signed yesterday. So it was an STF agreement. Mm-hmm. That was with the state. That's what we use those dollars for.
Cool.
So we use those for these match requirements. So it's about $89,000 a year. We use it for preventive maintenance. So anything that we're using to keep our buses in service or the preservation of our capital equipment is an eligible expense. So obviously our preventive maintenance is more than $89,000 a year, but this definitely helps. So that's what this agreement is. And I think it's a two-year agreement.
Cool. Sounds like good money leveraging.
It is.
Yep.
And then, so I'll just move right on. The next one is the urban allocation. And this is a special set aside that ODOT gives to all the urbanized areas in Oregon. There's six of us. We're one of them. The match rate on that is 20%, so it's a little bit higher. And the dollar amount is a little bit higher as well. We use these funds again for preventive maintenance. It's a two-year agreement, so the amount of the federal portion is $181,000, and the local match is $45,000. For over those 2 years. And so that's essentially the 5310 agreements. And like I said, it's federal money that goes to ODOT and they distribute it via formula fund back to all the other recipients.
Sounds pretty good.
Consent calendar good to you?
Worked for me.
Awesome.
Thank you.
No doubt. Thanks for keeping it brief.
Brevity.
I love it.
Well, seeing who's still here or not, we're going to move to finance report and business update. Item 3A is a resolution number 2019-024 in the matter of adopting a supplemental budget, making appropriations and budget adjustments for the fiscal year 2018 and 19. Finance Director Arthur O'Hara, good morning.
Thank you, Finance Director Arthur O'Hara. So I believe this might be just a cold introduction to the supplemental. I don't think I got anything in your packets. Correct? Doesn't matter, because I brought copies anyway. So
we'll pretend either way, but we need it.
And there's, I don't know if Dan needs one. But so every year, well, I shouldn't say every year. So throughout the year, as the board makes decisions, as the departments make decisions that potentially have a budget impact, we keep track of those things. Whether it's a addition of another position or whether it's a purchase perhaps of a copy machine, we keep track of those things to try to capture them and combine them all at the end of the year into a supplemental budget for the budget impact, to make sure that we do not exceed our budget limitations that have been established through the board. So
is that with the budget committee?
No. These are operational decisions that have occurred after the budget was approved, after the budget was adopted, during the fiscal year. So this supplemental budget resolution before you is for the current fiscal year, for the 18-19
No, I understand that, but I was trying to remember if the charter had said something about...
The charter does, but the, but Oregon budget law says that the budget committee, I think they put it quite quaintly with, they say it, Oregon budget law does not contemplate the involvement of the budget committee in the supplemental process.
Okay.
So we follow the budget law, of course. And just to add a little bit of a bow to that, tie the bow a little tighter, is that these are decisions, administrative decisions, that the board has made throughout the year. So there's really no, the budget committee would not have any option but to approve these because they're water under the bridge. They're positions that have already been filled, they're purchases that have already been made. So there's really no...
Yeah, decisions that have been made. Yeah.
Right, decisions that the board has already made. For the most part, there's a few things on here that the board is not aware of. For example, like I said, the copy machine. You know, a department will buy a $5,000 copy machine. It doesn't necessarily... They haven't necessarily come to the board to inform you that they bought a copy machine, but because of the budget law and how we handle the purchase of capital equipment, it requires a budget adjustment.
So I just want to revisit this committee thing again real quick. The charter under section...
I'm aware of what the charter says,
he
yes.
might not, though. Chapter 4, yep. Section 14, local budget law. Budgets shall be made and approved in accordance with local budget law of the state provided. However, supplemental budgets shall be approved by the county budget committee prior to public hearing on the same. Mm-hmm. So going through the process doesn't preclude that we're following state law, but it does say per our charter, we still have to have the budget committee have that meeting and approve it before we go to a public hearing on it.
Okay, so for 15 years we have not done that. I can't say prior to my time here, but we have not had budget committee involved in the supplemental process for the two reasons that I gave you.
I guess I just want to make sure that that's
known. Well, we need a charter review committee. Apparently, it's been a while.
According to legal counsel, we're not allowed to create one.
Oh, has to be citizen-driven?
Or legal counsel.
Hmm. Well,
I don't know why the city can't.
Can we at least ask?
Yeah,
because the city just did theirs, so.
Right.
Yeah, with the number of provisions in there, this is off topic, of course, but with the number of provisions in the charter that have been shown to be contrary to law, it seems like it's time.
Right. To me, I don't see that as a contrary to law. I see that in addition to law. Mm-hmm. It says comply with the budget law, but you shall do this first. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I see that as an addition.
As an add-on, yeah.
Not a overriding law, but adding to. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why for 15 years they haven't done that if our charter says we should. Not should,
well,
shall.
So maybe next year we'll have one extra meeting.
Well, again, but what would be the point?
Right.
You can go through a perfunctory process.
Comply with the charter.
You can go through a perfunctory process that has a established outcome.
Right.
So, at least in my mind, you have citizen volunteers on the budget committee that we would be wasting their time. Because this is a public process, we have advertised the public hearing, we have published the supplemental budget process, or the portion that's a supplemental, and we will have a public hearing next week. So there is no real tangible purpose that serves. But I'm arguing.
There is one I can say, is that the county commissioners are can be brought up on misdemeanor charges if we don't comply with the charter. And the supplemental annotations for the charter provisions that have been provided by legal staff does not include this section to be excluded. So that's why, to me, why not abide by the charter?
Yeah, even if it's a fool's errand, so to speak.
And that's what you say when you get there. The charter says we shall do this. Mm-hmm. Shall is one of those things that is not...
up for debate.
Correct.
Right. Well, we better get going on our performance evaluations. I know. think we shall do that as well.
Yeah,
that's not in the charter, is it?
Yes,
it is. Department heads every time a new commissioner is elected.
And every year before budget.
Oh yeah, says it both.
Yeah.
I know. We haven't been doing that either. That's what I heard.
Shame, shame, shame.
Oh, we could do a quick evaluation. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Is this an eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
I know.
I think there is.
Duck, 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 goose.
Well, I think there is a valid point. There is a valid point of saying, what is an evaluation?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what does that mean? Yeah, yeah. So.
I know, right?
So what you have before you is the resolution that compiles all the changes to the current year budget that are required to be included in both the...
We both did that this morning.
So there's two sections of this. One that's that you'll notice it says summary of supplemental budget. That's the first page. Those are the transactions that require publication in the newspaper and require a public hearing. Okay, so that's on page 1 and 2. On page 3, you'll see the top. It says summary of budget adjustments by resolution. These are budget adjustments or still under the umbrella of supplemental, but that do not require publication and do not require a public hearing. These are changes that can be made by board resolution in a normal board meeting, normally advertised board meeting.
And have those already been done?
No. This whole packet here is one resolution. The way we've done things is we'll publish what we need to publish, but only what we need to publish, just because it costs money to publish things. So we publish what's required to be published, but we include the entire packet in the public hearing and in the board resolution to update or establish the supplemental budget. So we combine them all together. But I thought it would be worthwhile to show you that distinction, that the first two pages are what we actually publish in the newspaper because they meet that criteria. The next few pages are just internal changes that can be established by board resolution during a normal board meeting. But they're all together.
So do you or could you email this out to the budget committee members too, the citizens, so that they can see the final changes? Or
sure, it's a public document.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it would tie that bell a little tighter.
Yeah.
Again, like you said.
Well, yeah.
Because then they'll see it all.
I don't know that we, the timing of this is such that these have to be approved by board prior to June 30. So right. That's why we've set the public meeting at June 26th, this next Wednesday, for the board to take action on this. I understand you haven't had a chance to look over these, although for the most part, these are decisions that you folks have been involved in. There might be a few things, you know, minor purchases, smaller purchases that just require a budget adjustment because of the nature of the purchase, but they're relatively small. Everything in there that's of any substance are things that you are aware of or were involved in the original decision. So we can plow through this if you so desire, or I can let you take a look at it over the next several days, and we can have questions
on Wednesday. That seems fine with me.
Yeah, there's really nothing too much. I mean, there's a couple of big items in there, the timber sales, the general fund for the most part, where we had additional timber sales and moving money from general fund to the forest reserve, as well as moving some of the general fund dollars to pay for the property purchase that we made, the $625,000 and the $100,000 for the Food and Friends, some of those changes. But all of those changes are spelled out in the resolution. They're part of the narrative. where all the changes have been identified and specified and given the dollar amount. So I think the resolution is actually pretty clear and pretty comprehensive on what's happening. Yeah. So
yeah, it's nice to have a little comment section there where it tells the story.
It tells a story and it indicates exactly what's happened. And so, your pleasure. Let me know what you would like to, how you'd like to proceed on this.
No, I'm good just to look at it till next Wednesday.
I still want to make sure that we're abiding by what we're required to do with the charter. So, because it says it's an added to, I don't see that as an optional. And it's not dealing with compensation, it's not dealing with employment law, it's not dealing with anything else. It's just saying you shall have an extra meeting. And, you know, we came into office and this is our authority to operate. And even though there are issues with it, it's still what is our binding.
Well, the board can do whatever they want in a general sense. I mean that, you know, you can have whatever meetings you want or however many meetings you want. So that's not.
You want to make that a dual meeting and invite those budget members?
It would probably be appropriate to say have the budget meeting and then the hearing, so it's done before. We do it the same day.
As long as we can get them to come in, we won't tell them it's for no reason.
Well, tell them the charter requires.
Yeah, I think we should then.
Well, the
sounds like a simple way.
The budget committee is a four constitutes the quorum, so there's a six member committee, but you have to have four that you know in order to convene or approve. Yeah, so. So I'm saying that with the three citizens, I'm sure at least one of them can make it.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty sure.
We should do that.
Fine. So I'll contact the committee members, tell them that we're going to have a meeting 9:00 Wednesday morning.
Okay.
And we would appreciate their attendance in order to, and I'll attach this to the email so that they have time to take a look over it.
Excellent.
Sound good?
It'll be quick.
Yeah,
but it'll mean that we complied with something in the charter, which maybe previous boards have not.
That's one less thing.
But
yeah,
I'm not saying the charter isn't flawed. I know it is, but we still can't just throw it out.
Yeah, it's pretty simple to comply with this one. So,
So we'll have a hearing next Wednesday.
Yes.
After the budget committee.
Cool.
Alrighty.
So that'll be the. So just update that on your Wednesday weekly business session agenda.
So
okay. Very good.
I have another thing for you.
Sure.
I had one of the things about our budget is, I mean, it's pretty much an overshot. It doesn't really delve into the details. Somebody knows the details somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you know which chart to go to somewhere, but. Deschutes County has one online that all the public can look at too, and it says here's your total budget. You click it, it drops down categories of what comprises that. You can go to a specific one, it'll drop down what's behind that, and it'll say this one, and you can just break down budget and go for that. As you're doing your software look, can you
that's included.
Include that in?
It's in there already.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I agree with you. That would be the best.
Cat's meow.
Yeah.
When's the software update scheduled?
Well, we don't have a schedule yet. The board approved us moving out with an RFP, so hopefully within the next month or so, we'll be getting an RFP out there, and then that starts the process.
We'll be ready for next year's?
No. I talked with, for example, Tyler, the folks, Munis, that the GP went with. We had them come give a demonstration. Actually had Roseburg down here, Douglas County down here, to join us for that demonstration. But I asked them specifically what is their time frame for implementation and transition and all that. They said 24 months from the time that they begin implementation to the go live date, 24 months. And I asked them, what if you needed to rush it? What if we needed to move it forward quicker? 18 months.
I maybe reach out to some other county and see what else they're doing. I'm not impressed with Tyler.
Yeah. No, right? No, they're not.
And from a citizen standpoint, paying a water bill, it's really a ridiculous system. You have to log in twice. You have to do different stuff to get your information, all this kind of stuff. And I mean, it's okay, but it seems antiquated for something that's fairly new. But it's working.
Well.
But I'm just saying, there may be others out there.
Oh, there are. There are. And we've made informal queries to several of them. So hopefully they'll still be in business or whatever.
Is there a finance directors association in Oregon like they have for clerks and everything else like that?
Yep.
Is it something you ever put out to them saying, hey, who likes your software, who doesn't? And kind of get some feedback that way?
I have been a few years ago. I did that exact same thing.
I bet it's changed since then.
I think it has changed, yes.
Just saying. Since, technology, dang, my phone's old, I got it yesterday,
thing. Oh, it doesn't stop. And then, you think you're going with one company, and then you find out they've been bought out by their competitor. Right. It's just,
Yeah. Fun never quits. Sign company is the one to be in. That's the business to be in. All the banks change names.
Letterhead company or something, yes.
I saw the Blue Monkey went out again. It's closed for the old Sambo's restaurant location.
Okay.
It's empty again.
Got it.
Every year.
I didn't know it was called Blue Monkey. I know.
Code for something else?
I don't know what this is.
The red dog barks.
As we're developing website, I'm just going to, this is just an example, but let's see if I can do it with this finger since I can't see the other one. But, here's...
This is Deschutes County you're looking at.
So you can come down, you can look at, okay, what's this one do? It'll break it down for... I don't know. There's just different options for the community explore.
Exactly. And not only the software itself, but there's also several companies that have overlays. OpenGov is one that comes to mind that will overlay your programs and to provide this type. So it might be... Depending on how everything shakes out.
Explore, which is the right answer. Is it the internal software? But does it do what else? I mean, we've talked in the last couple of years about, can you see the detail of what purchase cards are going to, or the detail of what did that money actually spend on? Couldn't tell you. Right. My hope is that the software that we acquire can, if we have an advisory board who wants to look at the budget, that they can say, no, that money's being spent appropriately according to levy dollars, or no, it's not. The animal one was one of those ones that we're trying. We spent several months of what level of budget documents do we want? And we're like, but in the end, realize you don't see the details. It's just kind of telling you a transaction was made.
Right. Well, it depends on the how clear the description is with that transaction. I mean, you know who the vendor is, you know how much, you know the date and the dollar amount, all that stuff. But the real variable in there is the description. Does this description capture the essence of that transaction, what it was for, what the function was? So sometimes that's the challenge on those kinds of things. It was charged to animal control, it was charged to the shelter, it was charged to contractual services, and we know it was so-and-so veterinarian. What was it for? And that's where the description has some...
And their very creation was as part of the levy language, the original levy language. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not something that we have an option not to have them do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so when we get that, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how to answer it differently other than, how do we help our software be as transparent as possible?
And give access to the public. I think that's one of the big things and big movements. And has been for several years, giving access to the public so people can run ad hoc reports against your database.
Cool.
So. And come to commissioner meetings and yell at the commissioners.
And say, what is this? What is going on here?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Did you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right.
So one final, just FYI.
Oh, dude, you used up our time. Just kidding.
It's I did get contact by Moody's
the rating.
For our bond rating company. Yes. Well, not our company. They do it whether we want them to or not. I am meeting with them on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, between 2 and 3 p.m. It's a phone call. You're invited. I don't want a quorum. So one of you, if you feel so inclined, it's basically a lot of metrics. You know, what's your fund balance? What's your cash flows? What do you have? What's your budget? But I am optimistic that it will be a very positive meeting and that we'll come out of it with, I'm hopeful that we'll come out of it with a another little ratchet up.
Yeah. Do they wait and get back to you, or do you find out immediately?
It's a get back to you.
Yeah.
Because they compile all this information and put it in their super secret
algorithm.
Yeah. And then come back with a rating.
Okay. But,
what time is your meeting?
It is
2 to 3.
2 p.m. on Wednesday, the 26th.
Okay. I am unavailable.
Okay. It's not necessary, but it's but it might be interesting. I'll have all the answers they need, but it might be interesting if one of you's there.
So, strategic plan steering committee, is that say 3:30? Yeah.
Yeah, or you can just show up for the first 5-10 minutes or whatever. It's not a requirement.
Right. Sounds like I'd be listening in on a conversation I wouldn't fully understand, but I might still try it.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Enlightening. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
sir.
Thank you. All right, so moving backwards in our agenda, item 1A was a modification of an agreement with the Sheriff's Office, but that was pulled prior to the meeting starting. And item 2A is Human Resources request for job description change for the Sheriff's Office. So now we will do that.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning. Good morning.
So this is a pretty simple job description update. This is a position that used to exist within the department. It is in the 2019-20 budget, but we just need to update the job description because it's been a few years since they've had this position. It'll be a necessary position to do investigative work when it comes to fiscal crimes. So we're going to hire a financial crime analyst. It'll be doing a lot of work within the marijuana industry and tracking the money of illegal transactions.
Is it paid for with the marijuana task force dollars?
I don't know the funding for it. I believe that is but it has been approved through the budget, the position, just not the description.
That doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, it's one of those things that we don't know the details of what positions account for the total number we see in budget, so I still want to know those details when we get them. And as far as I know, that money goes back this year. So we either have to reapply. It's not a carryover from this year to next year. We were told last Monday up at AOC. So there's not a rollover of the drug court funds or the JRI funds or the illegal marijuana task force funds. All those grants end with this biennium and have to be spent before they December 30th is the drop date. Dead. Of
do you just have to breach it, or do you have to send everything you didn't spend back?
Yes.
Okay. Bummer.
Uh-huh. So I know there's going to be reapplications and such, but I just want to make sure that we're mindful of those funding sources. But this isn't us having to find the funding sources. We haven't approved the position. Or is this approving the position?
Well, the position was approved in the budget.
But we don't look at details of positions in the budget. They don't say, will you approve this position in the budget? That doesn't do that. It just says he wants 21 people versus 20 people or something like that. And it doesn't tell us the detail of what the differences are. So to me, saying it's approved in the budget doesn't mean anything.
Okay, I mean, that's not the practice that's been in the past. So, like, I don't know what to say to that. What I'd say, it's an existing position within the budget. What I'm asking for today is approval of the job description.
Changes from what to what?
It's a position that used to exist. We used to have it. It's 10 plus years ago. Yeah, it was 20 years ago, actually.
So now it's the.
Well, I think this was last. It was last updated in 2008. So okay, it's been 10 years, it's been quite a while since it was updated. Right. So it's just a revision of a position that used to exist but hasn't existed for a while.
They had it in the detectives. They had it in the detectives unit.
Right.
And then with all the cuts and the detectives unit being eliminated, it went away. So now the wording change looks like instead of it working for the sheriff's office, they want it to be for the illegal marijuana task force. Which I don't know if those changes are necessary. That's still the sheriff's office. And can be assigned to that, but it also talks about a detective sergeant. And do we have those positions yet either?
Well, they have detective positions. It's the way they handle detectives within the sheriff's department is it is a assigned position. So it's not like you apply and you're granted now you're a detective until you're demoted or move on. It's much like a field training officer where it's an assigned duty. And you can come in and out of detective duties. So they can have a detective that is assigned to the marijuana task force. And then this position would work within that, within those tasks.
And I guess just for the sake of not being confusing to you guys, is to be told that this is what we've always done, or this is, again, that doesn't really hold water either for me, because what I'm learning is more I learn about doing my job, not necessarily everything meets that need. And one of those is that realizing that there's a lot of things this year I've been hearing from department heads is, well, if it's in the budget, let's just get it through without going through the commissioners, or let's just get it through without having to go through this process. The budget doesn't go into that level of detail. So that to me is not a clearance that it's had public scrutiny, that it's had scrutiny of department heads with their liaisons, with the board approving that process. So just because it went in the budget, sure, Arthur, it doesn't necessarily mean it's actually been vetted. And is it something we want to do? It's a department head wanting to get something through, but we don't, the sheriff even presented in the budget session, and this wasn't discussed.
And I don't necessarily disagree with some of the points you're making as far as the, you know, having board approval or board involvement in that. But what I do want to point out is that in the budget, we have the Schedule Ds. It's part of your budget document. It's part of the budget book. It's online. It's published. And those Schedule Ds do itemize any changes in the FTEs or in the positions that are in every department. So if they're removing a position, we show it as being removed. If they're adding a position, we show it as being added. So any changes, this specific one I haven't looked up this morning to be able to make sure, but any changes to the existing positions and the existing FTEs, any changes to those, even if they're, if we're changing their step or their grade, not their step, but the steps are automatic, but if we're moving someone from a whatever, those are itemized. We take their existing positions. We usually pull that around February. We take the existing position. This is what's on your payroll. These are the positions that we're paying right now. And we put that into a schedule for the budget purposes. And then we say, are you going to change that in any way? Are you going to add a position? Are you going to take away a position? And then we show them below the line, what we call below the line, any additions, all reductions, and then come up with the new FTE that for that specific department or that specific program. So the budget does have some good itemization. Your point being that was it presented in the budget hearing? Not necessarily. I mean, the sheriff or the public works or transit doesn't necessarily go over these changes.
It's not really vetted
verbally, yeah. but they are part of the budget document, and they are available for anybody reviewing the budget. And theoretically, again, to your point, you might be, you're making a good point. Does the board know? Theoretically, the department heads have met with their liaison and gone over all their budget changes, or at least that's the concept.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, but that's a liaison, and I'll be clear. I think an analyst position is absolutely a necessary position. I am still curious about where the funding for it is, because what I saw in the presentation in the budget is it was acting like there was all these new positions that we've had funded for a couple of years that haven't been filled. So they were looking like they're new positions, and it's like, so when you're looking at those numbers of new positions versus this, there was some discretion in how those were reported, because you know, one of the positions has been funded a couple of years. We haven't been able to fill it. We haven't been able to find the quality person they were looking for that role.
And if there are empty positions, I mean, we know what was approved in the current budget, and then we look at what's actually being paid off of the payroll system, what positions are being paid. And we do, on those occasions, we find there are empty positions. There are positions that are not on payroll, not being paid, but they're in the budget.
I'm listening. I'm just grabbing a book.
Then we query. Then we ask the department director, is this position, you know, are you currently advertising for this position? Is this just recently vacant and you're actively trying to fill it? Or is this position one that we should keep, or should we get rid of it? I mean, that's basically the question. And we do leave it up to the department director to specifically direct us, are we keeping this position, should we get it out of the budget, or should we leave it in the budget? So, to your point, if there are positions that are not filled and haven't been filled, but the department director tells us, I am actively trying to fill that, then we leave the position in.
So, case in point on this position, I grabbed my budget book and I went to personnel that talks about the positions in detail.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a justification, position change justification. Dispatch, corrections deputies, patrol, corporal.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in here about an analyst. And if I look over here at the positions, oh, that's DA, that's why it's not there. But it's just one of those things that's not in the justification. So I'm just asking for an opportunity that we don't just simply put it in a budget and say, oh, it's good. And when I ask, what's the position changes? Why does it look like there's such a jump of changes? I asked that in the budget committee. I was told, oh, these are unfilled positions we haven't hired. That's not what this is. So it's not the answer that was given to say we have a new analyst coming.
If it's not in the budget, then that's a different scenario than what we were talking about. If it is in the budget, then you would see it on there. And I'll have to admit, sometimes the departments provide us with a separate narrative, and sometimes we don't. It depends on the nature of the position. Sometimes it merits a separate narrative. Sometimes it's a department specialist and there's no real need. I just need additional support. So
these are your documents. If you can show it to me, you can tell me it's in the budget. But I don't see it there. But I also don't know what the initials of BA is. Right.
This is 17-18. This is the current fiscal year. So actually, this is 2 years ago, 17-18. So
this is what's in my budget provided by your department.
We're in 18-19 is the current budget. And, of course, the budget we just approved was 19.
I grabbed the wrong book. That's all. So that's good. This is my bad. I grabbed the wrong book. Because I saw 18-19. And so I just want to make sure that...
Well, I'm not saying specifically right now whether it's in the book or not in the book. I'm saying the process that we follow. And when people say it's in the budget...
But maybe we need to look at that process better.
Well, the process that we currently follow, and I'm open, actually, I sent you an email just yesterday, not you particularly, but all department heads, all budget contacts, and I did say, if you have any ideas, suggestions, improvements, whatever, to the budget process, please let me know. So I'm always open to improving a process.
And maybe it's an opportunity to talk about it, because only because there's a lot of discussion being driven right now about our process as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I said, if it's approved in the budget, let's just get it past this thing. Mm-hmm. But to me, the budget process is an overall looking at, we're not delving down into that level of details.
But to a certain extent, I disagree, because we do have detail and we have specific FTE, which according to budget law, we have to specify our FTE and we're not allowed to go above it. So we do, or at least the attempt is made, to itemize all positions, all existing positions, and then to show any changes to the existing positions.
It is there.
Okay, good.
So theoretically,
the sheriff discussed that with his liaison. We included it in the budget, and theoretically, then the budget committee reviewed to the extent that they wanted to review to see if that was appropriate. And the answer was yes, apparently, if it's been approved and adopted. So not to discount what you're saying, I think there could be more elaboration and could be more explanation.
Especially with a department that gives a presentation. And when you ask in that presentation, what are the changes in your FTEs?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what was explained.
Mm, yeah.
So, and with all the finance staff sitting there, as it's presented, don't say, oh, don't forget this position we added.
Yeah.
It doesn't get necessarily when those questions are asked in those details. So,
well, those elected officials, they're hard to...
We are a pain in the neck. But it's why when I'm hearing over and over, well, it was in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, unless we sit there for 3 weeks and we go line by line, that's not vetted to me.
Right.
Just saying.
I do whatever the board says. If the board wants to change practice on transition from one budget to another, nothing wrong with that.
If this were in the middle of the year, a department would have to come to us and say, this is a position mm-hmm. I'd like to do, mm-hmm. and this is where the funding comes from.
Sure.
But their work around that is, let's just get to the budget session. We'll just put a line item in there, and it'll just go through, and then we can get it passed, and we don't have to talk about
it. But theoretically, they have discussed that with their board liaison. So,
but we know the liaisons doesn't mean the full board knows.
Correct. Correct.
It's not that I'm saying that you've done anything wrong. The opposite. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, is what we're doing actually what the public expects for vetting mm-hmm. and looking at things? If it's, I am concerned, is we're looking towards going into a process evaluation. If it just says, well, it was budgeted, where's every single project that was budgeted? Where's every single, it's kind of one of those things. If you know where to go find it, you might have been able to see that. But has it actually been vetted?
Well, for example, we talk about projects, and there's a yes and a no answer to that. The yes answer says that if it's a capital project, those are itemized in there. They're part of your budget book. They're specified project by project, dollar by dollar, program by program, every capital project. The no answer says if you've got $150,000 in contractual services in your operating fund, that $150,000 is not itemized in the budget. It's just a number, and that could represent several different projects, several different
I hired a consultant.
So that's part of a larger number, but it's not detailed in the budget. Now, maybe our budget submissions, our budget work papers would show what constitutes that big number. But in an operational budget, the answer is no, we don't have it.
On the capital projects, even if they are in here, they mm-hmm. still come before the full board.
Mm-hmm.
They still get vetted, they still get reviewed. And it may be detailed, and it's like, this is budgeted, we're planning for this, are you going to approve us going forward?
But typically what that is, though, that to me is a separate project that the board said, contracts 10,000 and below, department director can do 10 to 50, department and liaison. Above 50, full board. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it might be detailed in there, but there's another policy that says if it's above 50, you have to get the full board to approve the contract.
And as we saw last week, that's something that they're trying to change that policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm just having the conversation out loud.
Yeah,
I'm playing devil's advocate, not for the sake of argument's sake, but to make sure, are we actually looking at what we're recommending to the level of, does that meet the needs of the public?
And I think putting together the committee to look at that policy is great. I think that should give us better context from the users of the policy or the department directors that are affected by that policy so that we can have a more comprehensive and hopefully a better functioning
government. And I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to hearing what will be recommended out of that group. But I also, at the end of the day, it's up to this side to make sure that we're being as open to the public as we can in the process.
Well, you're the ones that have to
and that we're doing
answer.
Business public forward. That's mm-hmm. that's our charter says that as well, that we're having weekly business sessions, that's mm-hmm. where business is being conducted in public. So thank you for indulging a conversation about it.
Sure. It's educational.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't have a problem with approving the job description. I am concerned the time frame for the budgeting for it. So hopefully he'll be able to renew the grant that will pay for that, because that was something the CJC came and did a presentation at the AOC Public Safety Steering Committee, and they were very clear that make sure everybody knows that this biennium, there's no rollover dollars. And so we want to make sure that we're in contact with them about what that process would be. So, and what happens if the funding for this source goes away? Does the position then go away?
I mean, I would say yes, if we can't. I mean, we have a pretty good history in the last 10 years of if we don't have funding for something, it goes away. So, you know, in law enforcement, you were here in 2012, you remember what happened? We didn't have any funding, we cut the positions. So, now they could have replacement funding for this somewhere else, but I'd have to talk to Dave.
Just because...
I mean, I was hoping to have, I didn't realize that Dave's presentation got canceled, so we purposely scheduled it, so this was right after his, but something happened, so he couldn't be here.
And that's okay. I think it's a valued position. I remember the caliber of people that were working in them before.
Yeah.
I knew the last two analysts they had, and they were busy.
Yeah.
And that is an important thing. But I also want to just make sure that how are we funding it?
Absolutely, that's vitally important.
All right. I don't know if the details are probably fine. We can look at it before next week, I guess, but I don't have a problem with it moving forward.
Okay, and I'll double check with Dave as it relates to making sure that he has, I mean, it's in the budget, but make sure that that funding is sustained throughout the year.
It does say in the budget, MJ grant.
Mm-hmm.
So, and hopefully, I know he's in touch with the CJC because they mentioned it. Because they specifically talked about the four counties receiving money, but they also said money goes back December 30th.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're figuring out what to do.
Absolutely.
Any other things?
That's it.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
We have made it through our agenda. Unless you have other business that should be brought before the board, we can move on to board business matters from commissioners.
I don't have any other business, nor do I have any board business.
I did want to give you a report that I met with solid waste representatives a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I'm continuing to get contact from the citizen that I brought up before that had concerns about the third-party hauling.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's not a huge issue in the community, there's only three companies in town that do it. So I was forwarding that stuff to Rob, who was reaching out to SOS, and they got a hold of me and said, hey, we just got done with a solid waste agency meeting. Can we come over? Please come over. So Nick Fahey and Trent Carpenter and Rob came over. And it kind of discussed the you can but should, you know, the lawful but awful kind of feel.
Right.
and you know, the fear of, well, we're just going to throw the franchise agreement out and we're going to have that people are just hauling their trash, you know, and or, hey, let me save you from paying that. I'm going to do it for you. And it's like, no, we're not going there. You know, we're certainly not looking at that. But in this situation, this person is hired to remodel a house and as a contractor, and therefore is covered to have a truck and a trailer haul to a transfer station and can pay the fee. In this situation, realtor hires to clean up the house, has to get a dumpster and wait for the dumpster to be delivered, wait for the dumpster to be picked up when done and hauled. And it's like, they're both hired to clean up a property.
Yep.
And I said, and they're like, yeah, but this one's different than that one. I said, really, in the eyes of the public, it won't be that different. And so would you at least be willing to reach out to him again and see if there's any options that you guys can come to? I got called a little later and Trent said, I think I've come up with a solution. Because one of the things that the citizen kept saying is the other company will deliver and pick up within less than 24 hours.
Right.
And so his business can keep going. And he gave me examples of where he had asked for dumpsters and they're not available for a week. They're not available for an extended amount of time. And initially they said that's not the case. But then they came back and said, if we can't deliver in 24 hours, I'm willing to give him a waiver for the time that he needed the dumpster that he can haul. But we will make every effort to get it there in less than 24 hours and pick up in less than 24 hours to meet what the other company's doing. If we can't, we'll let him haul. He'll have a waiver he can sign and pay the fees. I said, to me, that sounds like a win-win.
Yeah.
And so they contacted the citizen yesterday who reached me and was very pleased. He said there is still the one area of what do you do when there's one couch? What do you do when there's the small amount of something?
Right.
And they said you
three
have to
tire
get
story.
And they got Fannie Mae said they will not pay for a full dumpster because it's excessive to government spending and their government taxpayer dollars, so they won't allow it. So the good news is the two parties are talking and willing to look at something. So I just thought I'd report back that it didn't just resolve. We kept going, and it looks like a win-win. They're looking at solutions, and they're talking, which is good. So I thought I should report back to you guys on that.
Much appreciated.
I also attended the Era of Mega Fires presentation last night in Medford.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to talk to Chris Chambers, who is the wildland fire chief from Ashland Fire, who is on the governor's fire council, the upper council. I'm on a subcommittee. He's on the big council.
Right.
And he mentioned that it got me thinking about building codes, because there are codes in place that building materials can be used on buildings in fire-prone areas that could reduce risk to the homes.
Mm-hmm.
Metal roofs, siding resistant, deck resistant, different codes that could potentially be that
changed to.
Yep, and he said that it was actually adopted statewide, and it's up to each jurisdiction to look at if they want to adopt those locally. Medford is by the end of the year, Ashland is by the end of the year, and he said he thought Deschutes County. So there, I thought it would be at least worth, if you thought, after you hear the presentation, if what you think, if we can ask our building official or our community development director to look into those codes that the state adopted to see if they would be appropriate for our area since we have so much wildland urban interface.
Yeah.
So the idea is that if you're going to live surrounded by trees, you have building materials in your house that can help keep the house from burning. Granted,
sure.
I'm not asking for sprinklers in every home,
no.
You know, but you know, you don't want a cedar-shaped roof. You probably should have something else that not so. He says a lot of homes burn from the roof down and wild land fires. So that was something that kind of stood out to me is locally, what do we need to be looking at to try to help?
Yep, sounds good. I went up Dollar Mountain yesterday, and there's like 24 piles of brush now. Some company went through there. I don't know if they hired someone. It looked like it. Pretty professional. And they took all the undergrowth out. And now there's poison oak and tall trees. it looks very effective. It looks nice. You can actually see better views as well because it's along the ridge. And I was going, oh, this is what they want to do. They want to rake the forest. This is what it looks like.
It was a good presentation.
Yeah.
I found myself, you know, a couple times just kind of, do I agree with that? Do I not agree? But it was like, okay, listen to the whole presentation, wait, just see. And I thought it was interesting because I went to the Western Interstate Region Conference, the WIR in Spokane, one of the things I did was go out to the Colville National Forest, mm-hmm. did a tour of the A to Z project that was their big treatment program. Yeah. And the way they did that is they, the contractor gets to do the whole thing. They map it out, they plan, they do the NEPA evaluations, they do the, from start to finish, they do the environmental assessments, they get to go in and map out what's taken or used, they take it all out, they haul it to their own mill, they get to do the, you know, they get the whole thing and any profits off of it and all that other kind of stuff. So they take the risk versus the waiting for the Forest Service to do the environmental evaluations and saying, where are you going to do it? They put it back on the contractors to do it, and it's kind of an interesting system.
Can that get challenged in court along the process?
It did twice, and they won.
Wow.
And it got done. And but they had 7 mills in Colville, and I can tell you, you blink as you go through Colville and you missed it. but they still have 7 mills to process multiple types of timber. They have, it was incredible. I did a tour of the mill with the son of the founder.
Right.
And then there's video portion of this presentation last night. The other brother was in the video from Vaughan Construction. I'm like, I was at that mill. I saw that tour. Right. And the Forest Service guy said, yeah, there's this A to Z project. I just toured it last month. So there are some steps being taken and different stuff. But I'm glad you are going to go, because I think the more of us that are aware of where we're going, the better we can.
I still don't know who scheduled the 7 o'clock meeting, but
okay. It was Forest Service and ODF.
That's getting bumping up against my bedtime. Yeah.
No, I hear you. All right. Well, if there's anything else.
Nope.
All right. So we will be adjourned at 9:57.